Good afternoon, Eastern Washington. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from the capital of Free Washington, Spokane Valley. Brought to you once again by the Committee to Elect Matt Shea, Republican, and the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. And once again, it's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong. It's about being an American again. I want to talk about that here in a second. But doing the hard work to implement freedom, we always have to focus on our hope being in Jesus Christ, not in man. And we can't stop there. We can't end in prayer. We must also move to action. And as Exodus 15:3 says, the Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Are we warriors? I want to take a brief moment to talk about something as Christians that we need to grasp and that we need to not just grasp, we need to embrace. I was at a dinner last night. It was an outreach for the community at Roller Valley off of Dishman Mike. Some of my friends own that place and have rejuvenated it. And they had an outreach dinner, free skate for kids and adults and everybody. As well as handing out Bibles and reaching out and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to those folks and making disciples. I have seen in too much of the church today what I would consider apathy, but in a really bad, even worse than normal apathy, in a really bad form, because people don't know that they're being apathetic. That's dangerous, very dangerous. And I want to talk about three things that we do as Christians and that we need to believe as Christians that make all the difference in the world. Because if you stop at one point, then you don't get to the other points. So non-believers are carrying a very heavy weight around of sin. They're carrying a very heavy weight around of disappointment and many other things. But once we give our lives to Christ, we are crucified with Christ. That's what Scripture tells us. We are crucified with Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of people, though, will stop there at the cross. But they don't go to the rest of Scripture, Romans 6 particularly, that we have also been buried with him. That old man of sin is buried. We need to stop digging him back up. And certainly, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. So when people are talking about this, about Christianity, yes, we have to give our lives to Jesus Christ. Yes, we are crucified with him, but our old man is also buried with him. It's gone. Sin should not reign in our body. When he died, we died. When he rose, we rose. And the old man needs to be discarded. We have a tendency to dig back up the old man or hold on to the old man. It needs to be discarded. And the way to do that is to yield to Jesus Christ. Yield your mind, your thoughts, your body, your emotions, your will, your identity to Jesus Christ. Now, there is a subset of Christians that have been able to do that in their spiritual walk. They've gotten that far. They've discarded the old man. But what I've seen is a lot of Christians not living in the next stop. So they've been crucified with Christ, they've died with Christ, they've been risen with Christ, but they're not living in victory. And this is a very important point. Physically, we're here on earth. Spiritually, we are already with Christ. Christ is already in heaven, but he sent his spirit to be with us on earth. We need to understand that he's brought us near by his blood to the throne room of grace. And Ephesians 2:4 says it perfectly. He loved us, made us alive together with Christ, and raised us up with him and seated us. Listen to what this says, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. seated us with him. If the church, if we know that position, the church in Christ is unstoppable. Understand what I just said. The church in Christ is unstoppable. Unstoppable. It is. I am, you are, at the right hand of the Father in Christ Jesus. All things that have been put under the feet of Jesus Christ have therefore also been put under our feet if we're seated with him. If we're in Christ and Christ is in us. That is the gospel of the kingdom. We need to move beyond the cross. We need to move beyond being risen with him, and we need to actually live knowing that we are seated with Jesus Christ in heavenly places. Go check out Ephesians 2. Read it for yourself. It'll change your life. And we need to live that way, victorious. Well, I'm going to bring my guest on early today. My good friend Pat Wood of Technocracy News. He's got another scheduled thing he's got to get to, so we're going to bring him on first. He's done a great job in educating people on what technocracy and technocrats are. Pat, thanks for joining me on Patriot Radio again.
Matt, good to be back with you. Glad to hear you talking about Christian things and how it applies to us today. I wholeheartedly concur with you.
Yeah, it gets a little frustrating that we're not living victorious, but you've been living victorious. You've been doing a lot of things to educate folks on technocracy. So I'm going to ask you real quick, what is new in the technocracy front? And then also, if you could, tell us a little bit about Red Pill University. What is that?
Oh, wow. Well, let me go backwards first. Red Pill University is the brainchild of G. Edward Griffin, who, of course, wrote the book about the Federal Reserve, The Creature from Jekyll Island, and a bunch of other things as well. And Ed wanted to start Red Pill University to help people break free from the matrix, so to speak, you know, from the matrix of fake news and fake history. And that's what it's all about. So they're curating faculty that are known to have a very solid, scholarly view on something. And they're bringing them in as faculty members to present material to the university attendees. It's a very neat concept. There's nothing like it anywhere. Just started. But this thing we're doing tonight is going to be kind of a, not a kickoff, but, we're trying to get people interested in what we're doing. That's it. That's all. So we set out we put out a dragnet for people to come to our webinar tonight. And I didn't know how many people were going to, actually sign up, but I sent out emails, Ed sent out emails to his list and so on, and we had some activity on some other social media. And we have signed up as of right now, and we still have 2 hours to go. We have signed up to attend this thing, 2,300 people from all over the world, And that's kind of exciting, actually. I'm kind of pumped. And we're gonna give some forecasts and stuff for 2018. And I hate to put it this way, but between Ed and myself, we have over 100 years of combined experience.
That's wisdom. Wisdom.
Oh,
100
my
years
gosh,
of combined
just,
wisdom.
Oh, I cringe. My skin crawls every time I say that, but it's true. Ed's been at it at least, about 10, 15 years longer than me. And he's done some fantastic work in his life. And, we have perspective. That's all I can say. We have perspective and we have living history at our disposal. So that's what Red Pill is.
Tease a little bit. Can people still get on the webinar tonight, or is it already closed?
You know what? It's going to be on Facebook. We're live streaming to Facebook as well. So if somebody goes to Facebook and they just do a search for Red Pill University, that's easy to remember. You'll find the page. Of course, like the page. We'd appreciate that if you did it. But you'll see the video pop up there as a live stream on Facebook. You can listen to it there. That'd be the easy way to get it.
And I would just the group of people that you have put together around this. I mean, it's very impressive. Robert Kiyosaki, G. Edward Griffin, yourself, many others that you're trying to put. Dr. Tim Ball, many others that you're trying to bring as part of this. kind of the outgrowth, I think, of the Red Pill conferences. But this is, I mean, this is going to become the foremost university on fighting globalism and fighting technocracy.
Well, I don't know that there's even one university otherwise. So, yeah, it's going to be the only one, I think, as we move forward. But it's, you know, it's an idea. It's unique, and you can't ever count G. Edward Griffin out. You just can't. You can't do it. That, don't ever bet against him. He's like the Energizer Bunny. I think he's. I know he's in his. He's well into his 80s at this point. And he goes and goes and goes. It's just incredible. He comes up with all kinds of stuff all the time. He's just an amazing mind, and he's amazingly active. So this thing could really fly. And I have to. You can imagine Ed Griffin knows a lot of people around the world. You know, a lot of his contemporaries have already passed, but you can imagine he just knows hundreds of scholarly people all over the planet that he can call on to be part of Red Pill University.
No question about it. I just love the fact you guys are doing this. What is new, though, on the technocracy front? What should our listeners know about that maybe they don't? And tease a little bit about, you know, obviously don't give everything away, but tease a little bit about what you guys think is going to happen next year.
Well, I will. The biggest news thing on my radar right now, as far as activism is concerned, is the fact that the president has axed $285 million from the United Nations contribution. That's minuscule in one sense. But what this does is it gives us all around the country the ability now to talk openly about the United Nations and their anti-American policies and positions towards America. This has been a long time coming. I'm excited about this. I think one of my predictions tonight will be, I think that local activism is going to explode in 2018 because of this. We have the advantage for the first time in years where we can go in and talk to city council people. We can talk to county, you know, planners and planning commission, et cetera. We can talk to them about the United Nations openly because Trump has made it an issue in a negative sense. So all of these anti-American policies that have come in, Agenda 21, 2030 Agenda, Habitat, Smart Cities, Smart Grid, all those kinds of things that have come in, we can now talk about them openly and with a negative framework and say this needs to stop because it's anti-American and it will hurt American citizens. We haven't been able to say that before. They just look at us and say, well, you know, you're one of those conspiracy nuts, aren't you? Right? That's what they say. That's what they've always said. Or we don't even know what Agenda 21 is. We never heard of it before. You know, well, have you heard of smart growth? How about smart growth? You heard of that? You know, well, that's it, folks. So anyway, I think local activism is going to take a real rocket ride in 2018. That's pretty exciting.
No question about it. I'm seeing it happen. I'm seeing people start to wake up. And the fact that the acknowledgement that the United Nations really is becoming, you know, I've always believed since at least the 60s, it's been a useless organization, if not from its inception. It is definitely becoming an anti-American organization. The Trump administration is becoming outspoken about this. It's very exciting to see this return to Americanism and protecting the values and the culture and the heritage and beliefs that we all hold dear.
That's right. And honestly, I don't, you know, I was excited when he first said in his campaign he's going to move the embassy to Jerusalem. I think it belongs there, in fact. But that's really incidental to this whole story. I don't care what got this conflict going. It's a good thing. And nobody could have predicted what would have happened when he announced that just recently. But the Islamic core of the United Nations went ballistic enough where virtually all the nations of the world voted against us for censorship. This is incredible. And this is over our sovereign right to move our embassy wherever we want to move it. It's our choice, not anybody else's. So, you know, this conflict has sprung up. I think it's going to have a lot of, you know, watershed, trickle down, whatever, to local communities across America. And I say it's about time. But we certainly should not sit back on our laurels and think that the President Trump is going to save us, rescue us, or anything else, or that any other federal agency is going to save us or help us. It's up to the American people. It's always been up to the people. Always. That's how our country was founded. It was the people who fought against England and won our independence. It wasn't an administration that did it. It wasn't somebody else. It wasn't mercenaries. It was the people of our country that did it. And right now, if we have an opportunity, it's because the people have an opportunity to do something about it in their own local communities. How they respond now, it's going to be interesting to see. But I think for the first time in decades, we got the wind at our back.
I agree. People are finally seeing this for what it is, a self-appointed aristocracy that wants to control everything and everybody and be in every area of your lives. And people are saying that can't be freedom. I mean, even the most skeptical person out there is beginning to see the writing on the wall. And the great part about this is with the internet, we can get folks informed, we can get them educated, and most importantly, we can get them all aimed in the right direction to roll back the tide that has been just coming over us for so long.
Exactly. And I'm also really excited. I think we've discussed this before, but my new endeavor called localactivist.org is now positioned to launch into 2018 with training for basic training for local activists. And my collaborator with that, Mary Baker, is a skilled trainer and teacher and educator. She's validated her course in California. She's trained hundreds of people in person. We're applying this with internet technology so that people can take this course from anywhere in the world. And I am really excited to be able to help people get off the couch or whatever their fear is, you know, fear of talking, fear of rejection, or, you know, somebody's going to be a bully, whatever. We can help people overcome those things and learn how to be effective. Whatever your issue is, to learn how to be effective in communicating your position to people that don't agree with you. And that includes all of your city councils by and large, and your city planners, your county planners, your, you know, supervisor, board of supervisors, all those types of things. When these meetings come up, we're training people to go in and be effective to set the record straight and set the course of action straight as well. It's very exciting.
Citizen ninjas, as you guys put it.
That's right. That's what Mary has called her training, Citizen Ninja. Localactivist.org is the home of Citizen Ninja. And we don't have a military patch or anything, right? But we're not that, you know, we're not into buying swords and all that kind of stuff. But The analogy is, I think, a good one. We need to be nimble, we need to be quick, and we need to be accurate.
So let's talk a little bit about, on the technocracy front, some of the things that are out there right now. A huge push toward a global digital currency, Unity, or whatever this is, a Unity or utility settlement coin. The idea that crypto, some sort of a global cryptocurrency, may end up being what's used in the future. If you could tell the listeners a little bit about that, I found that fascinating that's actually being now talked about openly, where, you know, 4 years ago, that was something that was, again, you know, a so-called conspiracy theory. It's amazing how these are all becoming fact.
They are. And I hate to say it, but Bitcoin has been a setup from the get-go. I don't know any other polite way to say it, but that may make a lot of people angry that are owning Bitcoin right now. If you do, you might ought to consider taking some profits and getting out while you can. But Bitcoin was set up to fail from the beginning because it had a distributed, what was called a distributed blockchain. And right now, the size of the blockchain is 1 megabyte in size. You say, well, that's a lot. That's a big chunk of data. But what happens is every time you make a transaction or a transfer, the details of that transaction are appended to that piece of data. Now, you might imagine after a while, for any given Bitcoin in the world, it doesn't take long to fill up a megabyte worth of blockchain area. And what happens when you fill it up? Well, now you got trouble, because the blockchain size needs to be expanded, and eventually, theoretically, eventually, like a Ponzi scheme, it has to fail eventually. So what the central banks are cooking up, Matt, is a system where they still have the same crypto blockchain capabilities, but every transaction is going to be automatically transmitted back to a central database instead of being embedded in the blockchain. So there, in other words, the banks will control the transactions, and they'll keep the master database, if you will, and the blockchain part of it will authenticate transactions between individuals and businesses and so on. And this will be the central bank's nirvana. They've never had anything like this before. We know there's a war on cash all around the world. We know that cash is being stripped out of some societies. There's a big war on cash here in our country. Once cash gets diminished to the point where the banker's cryptocurrency could take over, they will just simply say goodbye dollar, hello whatever the crypto is, whatever they call it, maybe an ACS like you said, and that'll be it. That'll just be the end of it. Everything gets converted into the cryptocurrency, and the bankers keep track of every single transaction that's made with that coin. Now you say, people can say, well, what's that? Why is that a problem? Well, right now, the NSA and the CIA and everybody else has to go and sift this data somehow, collect it from somewhere else, from Visa or MasterCard or whatever, to try and build up a database on what Americans are doing and people around the world. Once a cryptocurrency is put out by the central banks, they will have every single transaction, all of your purchases that you make of stores, who you transfer money to, who you receive money from, why they could just as easily calculate your income tax for you as you could and send you a bill. Say you owe this much. We know everything you did. We got a hold of IBM and got Watson to figure out everybody's income tax for this year. Well, maybe next year. But you get my point. This is not something we want. This would be the cement that would cement technocracy into global civilization. Not what we want.
Activity-based intelligence, I've talked about it on the radio before, and the idea that behavior can just it doesn't have to be exactly what you're purchasing, when you're purchasing, how much you're purchasing, how frequently you're visiting a site. All of those things can be used to create a profile on you, and then it can be turned around to actually influence your behavior based on this profile they have on you. I mean, this is scary stuff, and it's all out there. It's all been admitted. It's well documented, and this is the direction we're heading. You know, we have Agenda 2030 and all these other things out there. This just cannot be a good direction. And I agree with you on Bitcoin. I've heard that actually from people in the banking industry, that exact same phrase about Bitcoin, that it was a setup intentionally to groom people to be used to cryptocurrency.
Yes, and it was set up to fail in the first place because the limited size of the blockchain that's attached to each crypto coin, it just cannot possibly grow indefinitely. That's crazy. It just can't. I mean, what about 5 years from now? What about 10 years from now? That thing circulated a million times. You'd have to be carrying a computer, a giant computer around with you just to figure out where one Bitcoin has been, it's just something that it's not going to work. But let me tell you, Matt, I say this very pointedly. The system of technocracy that's being built, we also know it as globalization in general. These are the global elite that have been pulling this off for so many years. And a global scholar just recently, 2 years ago, he wrote a book called Connectography. It's about connecting the world together. And he said in this book something so profound. This is a direct quote. Just listen to it. He said, "We are building this global society without a global leader." I want you to think system now, okay? "Global order is no longer something that can be dictated or controlled from the top down." And then he concludes, "Globalization is itself the order." Do you see what he just said in light of our conversation? The system is the order that they are building. This is technocracy, you see. This is what was envisioned even back in the 1930s in a rudimentary form, but this is it. Building a system. This is what Huxley's book, Brave New World, was all about. They built a system to hold everybody captive. And Huxley was looking at technocracy, by the way, when he wrote that book in 1932. That's when technocracy was at Columbia University in New York. When the scientists and engineers were building it up.
So what do you think is going to be the next incremental step this coming year? I mean, we just talked about the cryptocurrency, but what else should people be on the lookout for? There'll be the next incremental step toward a technocratic world and a state.
Surveillance is key. And I, when I say surveillance, let me refine that a bit and say geospatial geography is the big thing in the intelligence community. That means tracking you everywhere you go. And sensors are going to be embedded all over the place in cities and towns around our country so that we can be tracked personally with either facial intelligence, identification with cameras, or other types of RFID, you know, chip identifiers. But surveillance is also at the heart of technocracy. They must know where everybody is. And, of course, we know where your house is. Your house is on Google Maps, right? It doesn't go anywhere. It just stays in one place. But you, Matt Shea, you go all over the place. They want to know where you go. When they know where you went, matched up with all of your financial data, you can say hello to the scientific dictatorship. To think that it's going to have some kind of benevolent outcome is the stupidest thing anybody could ever think.
Do you still think that they cling to this Plato's Republic idea of these, you know, philosopher kings ruling over everyone, you know, this benevolent group of aristocrats? Do you think that they really will say, no, this is totally decentralized, but indeed and in fact, there will be a group of people that's going to be directing all of this?
They're already saying that it's going to be decentralized. There's some people calling for a global democracy now based on blockchain as well. How'd you like to vote by blockchain? But all of these utopian dreams are just crackpot. None of them have ever worked, and they never will. It's impossible. And people keep coming up with these ideas. They don't know what the heck they're talking about. They have no experience. They have no worldview that's worth anything. And they come up with these crazy ideas, and people go, oh, well, you know, it's like kind of like the hippies back in the 60s that contemplated their navel, you know, after they took LSD. You know, oh, wow, that's deep. Okay, whatever. But, you know, these people, in a mental sense, this is exactly what they're doing today. Somebody throws out an idea, and somebody, you know, a bunch of people go, oh, that's a great idea. One big happy family, right? Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah.
Well, if you could plug one more time your Technocracy News Hour and also the Red Pill webinar tonight as well.
Gosh, we got so much stuff going on. You can go to Facebook and look up Red Pill University if you want to get in on Pat Woods and G. Edward Griffin's forecast for 2018. Just look us up on Facebook. Go there. It's going to be a live stream. And it'll also be on the website probably for a couple of weeks after it's done. We're going to try and record it. And we got so much stuff going on. We got, we got the website, technocracy.news, where I post stuff every day, just amazing stuff. You can't make this stuff up, Matt. You just can't make it up. I grab these stories from all over the planet, and you people read it, and they go, oh, I just can't believe anybody actually said you have to listen to them to see what they're saying. You just can't make it up. Indeed, I do have Technocracy News Hour. It's an on-demand podcast. Someday maybe to be a radio program, but right now it's just a podcast. And you know what? We're moving forward. That's all I can say. We're moving forward. Localactivist.org, just getting started. But I think 2018 is going to be the right time for citizen ninja training for local activists.
I completely agree. Really appreciate everything you guys are doing. And I'd love to have you back on again, and I hope I get to make Red Pill this coming year I really wanted to make it last year and I couldn't, but I really hope I can make it this year and look forward to seeing you again in person.
Actually, we're trying real hard to get it up to Spokane or somewhere in the, maybe in the North Idaho area. So we will definitely be together if it's up that, if it's that close to you, you cannot possibly not come unless you have, you know, break a leg or something, which we'd excuse you if you did.
Well, yeah, I probably would still have somebody take me down there. So
I would expect that of you, actually. Carry me on a stretcher, but I'm going to Red Pill Expo.
Well, Pat, thanks again, and look forward to having you on in the future. Keep up the great work. Just continue to follow you. And for everybody out there, this is one of the places I actually go to look for news is Technocracy News, so check it out online as well. So, Pat, thanks again for joining me on Patriot Radio today, and have a great webinar tonight.
Thanks, Matt, and God bless you too.
All right, God bless. So, Pat Wood, you can take a look again at Red Pill University. Go on Facebook. Click on it. You can check it out online as well. They have a newsletter you can subscribe to, but also check out Technocracy News and Trends, Technocracy News Hour. And Technocracy News is, again, it's from all over the world, and it's the stuff that's going to show you where we're headed, where it's going to be a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, where these things are headed. Now, a lot of people will say, oh, that just can't be true, because they don't want to acknowledge reality. They kind of want to put their head in the sand and say, well, you know, it just can't possibly happen. Those micro UAVs that you guys used to talk, that just could never possibly happen. And now it's out there for everybody to see. You know, Popular Mechanics and Popular Science talk about some of these things too. I mean, they do it because they go to the U.S. Patent Office and see what people are actually designing and patenting. So this stuff is well documented. And when people say, oh, I just don't want to talk about that, or that just can't be possible, or something like that, that really doesn't work anymore. And actually never really worked, at least as far as formal logic is concerned, because you have to have a primary source document. I had somebody online today on Facebook talking about, you know, that my article that I put up in regards to Redneck Revolt, and we'll talk about that here in a little bit, but that article that I put up on Redneck Revolt was somehow fear-mongering. And I was kind of stunned by it, because that is not logical reasoning. That is emotional spouting, just because you don't want to deal with the truth of a matter. And we're seeing this everywhere today, this emotional reaction to things, because people are not either wanting to or are unable to reason. Now, a while back, I went through a 40-hour course on apologetics for the Christian faith and talked about a lot of different things. But ultimately, at the end of the whole course, it came down to this, okay? Now, this is a profound statement, all right? The existence of truth proves the existence of God. The existence of truth proves the existence of God. The second statement was the ability to reason proves the existence of God. The ability to reason proves the existence of God. Now, a lot of times today, people don't recognize their presuppositions in argument. And this happens on the left all the time. They try to make this an emotional thing. Are you defending injustice? Ask these people those questions back. Are you defending injustice? You know, this thing with Redneck Revolt, you know, I was saying, are you defending the injustice of communism and socialism? Well, talk to the Slavic community. Talk to the folks from China that have gotten out. Talk to the folks from North Korea that have gotten out. Look at the history of Mao Zedong, the history of Joseph Stalin. And are you really defending communism? Really? I mean, it's kind of It's kind of stunning that we now are at the point where we can't really have a reasonable conversation. That we aren't even to a level of acknowledging what logic is or the ability to reason is, what our presuppositions are. For example, I have presuppositions in some specific definitions. So for example, truth. Truth is reality as God sees it. Knowledge is truth accepted by the mind, and wisdom is truth rightly applied, again, according to God's standard. So I acknowledge those are presuppositions because I believe that the existence of truth proves the existence of God. The language of math is truth. Doesn't matter what symbols you're using, but it is truth. So if math is real, then truth is real, then that proves the existence of God. And I acknowledge those presuppositions. Those on the left don't even have a mooring. It is relativism. And so we get in these arguments, and people get very frustrated, don't have the argument anymore about the subject if somebody is coming at you emotionally. There's an old word, rhetoric. That's the way people will fight. They talk in rhetoric. They don't talk in reason or logic. I think, instead, educate them on how to think. Not what to think, but how to think. Take that opportunity to talk about reason. I've tried to do that, and some people will listen. Some people honestly won't. Some people get annoyed by it, and that's fine. But I've seen too many times, people try to get away with this. And I'm tired of it. We need to educate people on actually how to think. And for some people, that might offend them as well. You know, I don't know. But that's not the point. The point is that we need to use logic and reason and get away from emotion, because emotion is what is catastrophic and leads to people dying in the world. It does. That's what is behind communism, is emotion. And, you know, I found it interesting, and I'll get to this here in a second with the briefing, but I found it interesting too because Christianity, the cross, Paul in Romans and Ephesians uses reason and logic. If we died with Christ, we also rose with him. If he died, we died with him. If he rose, we rose with him. It's reason. It's not emotional. Christianity, and Paul in particular, use reason. And that's what I was talking about at the beginning of the show, the fact that, you know, we have three stops, the cross. We're crucified with Christ, and we're risen with Christ. And then we're seated with him in heavenly places. And it's profound. Those are profound things. But if we're doing things based on emotion, I just can't accept that. That's just, well, hang on. Reason. And I'm sorry I'm taking a little bit of time with that, but it is annoying that we can't have intellectual conversations anymore. And a lot of people say we can't have intellectual conversations anymore because things are so polarized. No. I flatly reject that idea. The reason we can't have intellectual conversations and reasoned conversations anymore is because one side is not using reason. They're not using logic. In fact, they're rejecting it out of hand. And you can see that when you post something and somebody immediately says, you must be racist or homophobic or this or that, or there's no reason to it. Somebody today, again, on this Redneck Revolt post I'm going to be talking about here in a bit, you know, I expected more out of you. I'm disappointed. In regards to what? That's fear-mongering. What is? Stating facts? And I actually went through and taught them how to think. And then when I got to the bottom, I asked them a question. Are you defending the injustices of communism? Because I'd laid out the facts. Are you defending communist dictators? And all of a sudden, they erase their post. Okay, because they cannot face logic. They can't face reason. And so with that, we'll go to your daily intelligence briefing. On the international front from the Middle East, the Iranian-backed Houthis that almost hit the Saudi royal palace. I think portends war in the Middle East, okay, a broader war in the Middle East. I think war is in the air right now, unfortunately. And so we need to take a look at what all of this means, how things are aligning, which brings us to the second thing on the international front. That's the Palestinians rebuked by the Saudi Arabians and by the United Arab Emirates for beating up on Donald Trump. So Mahmoud Abbas, the Palestinian Authority, rebuked because the Sunni bloc that is aligning the United Arab Emirates, the Saudi Arabians, the Egyptians, they're aligning right now in the Middle East against the Iranians. And they're aligning actually with the United States. The Turks are being left out, and they're trying to stake a claim in something. The Iranians are trying to put their bloc together of Syria, Lebanon, at least part of Lebanon, and also to a certain extent, some relations with Russia and also with North Korea. You can see kind of how this is going, okay? But it was interesting today, there was an announcement from Axios, that's AXIOS. You can take a look at them online. But they carried the story today that the United States and Israel reach a joint plan to counter Iran. So they've reached a joint strategic work plan to counter Iranian activity in the Middle East. Now, that would not have happened unless the Saudis knew that was going to happen. And the Egyptians knew that was going to happen. So understand what this means, the Middle East. Also in the context of this, of the Palestinians getting rebuked for the treatment of Donald Trump in the United States. So this is how things are aligning. Also very interesting, moving next to the terror attack in St. Petersburg. Many were like, what? Yeah, there was a terror attack in St. Petersburg. Putin has called it as such and wants the FSB to, quote, root out the bandits. Several people killed, apparently, based on the last thing that I saw. But the bottom line is that the Russians are in an interesting position. Do they align with the Shia in the Middle East? Do they align with the Sunnis in the Middle East? Do they align with the Turks, who are also Sunnis, but have largely been secular over the last long while? Who do they align with? Obviously, they're going to always align with Syria because of the strategic ports they have there for the Russian fleet. But they're a little bit of a pickle. Obviously, they're going to try to assert dominance, but the KGB back in the 1960s and 70s put 4,000 KGB agents into the Middle East to turn Islamic organizations against the United States and use them as a buffer, according to General Mihai Pachipa, the highest-ranking KGB general to defect to the United States. And this terror attack where, you know, you have people injured, looks like a dozen injured and 14 people killed back April 3rd as well when a suicide bomber detonated there. I say that because the commonality here is even with the KGB having that much control of Islamic organizations through the influence of their operatives, these things are still happening to the Russians. I think it's a cautionary tale for the United States as well to try and use some of these proxies in the Middle East like the Russians did, which is what some people have advocated over the years. And some people argue has happened with ISIS, or at least organizations that are closely tied to ISIS. And my sense with this, though, is that the Iranians, with all of that Sunni bloc against them, very likely are going to not have full Russian support as things come together there in the Middle East. But regardless of all of that, even, it really looks like war shaping up there. Also on the international front, North Korea, the Olympics in Seoul coming up, got everybody on edge. The North Koreans, will they do a nuclear test? Well, clearly the United States is not going to wait around to find out. There's been a lot of mobilization of military assets, and a lot of people say this is one of the closest points we've been since the 1950s on the Korean Peninsula. With that said, again, it looks like war in 2018. So we're going to look ahead. It looks like the winds of war blowing. And we need to make sure back here at home that anything that the United States does is a just war, not just in the cause, but just in the prosecution of that war, and is done constitutionally. It's very important. Also, on the international front, Venezuela, children, according to a report, dying in large numbers. There's been a protest down there, actually, as well. I find it interesting as a protest over pork because they're running out of it. So now that meat is becoming scarce, you're seeing people fomenting unrest even more so than has gone on. The opposition has been generally quiet, so that portends probably something in the offing for spring. So Venezuela looks like an unstable situation. Will get worse in the spring if we're looking at 2018. Also, and I forgot to mention this, Iranian corruption protests have broken out across the country as well in Iran. It's interesting that Iran, people will say, well, nuke Iran. No. There are a lot of Christians in Iran. In fact, it's one of the fastest growing places for Christianity underground. And it's interesting these corruption protests are breaking out. One kind of wonders if there's an influence from Christians in that. And so you'll see a move to, in Iran particularly, toward Christianity in the next year, at least underground. So that's very interesting. And also something we need to take into consideration when we're talking about Middle East policies. On the national front, Trump administration officially blamed North Korea for the WannaCry ransomware attack. North Korea says prove it. Well, obviously the United States isn't going to give away how they figured that out, but just goes to show that these hacking attacks that are occurring are something very serious. It can shut down business and the economy. It can shut down potentially power grid systems. We need to have decentralized defense on that. Also on the national front, this article coming out of the United Kingdom, actually, about redneck revolt. What is redneck revolt? It is communists. These are admitted communists arming in the United States of America and training. And these are people that have admitted they want to overthrow the Constitution and capitalism. I mean, this is, they talk about this stuff in this article. I posted this up on Facebook. You can check it out there. But this is where I had this spat with this person I was mentioning earlier. And I just said, look, it's a fact they've admitted that they want to overthrow the Constitution of capitalism. It's a fact that they're arming themselves. It's a fact they're admitted communists. It is a fact that communists that arm in a country almost universally throughout history attempt a revolution, All of these things are facts. So counter that. There wasn't a counter. He just had to run away. But it still shows, I think, for all of us as Americans, there's a lot of things coming against Americans and the values, the culture, the heritage, traditions, beliefs, everything we hold dear. And what we need to do in the face of unashamed communist resurgence in America is to become unashamed Americans again, where the Constitution is the thing that we agree on. All of it in the plain language of the document. Also on the national front, Roy Moore charges vote fraud in his Alabama Senate race. Moore filed a last-minute election complaint in an effort to postpone the election certification. Moore said that three nationally certified election experts independently concluded within a reasonable degree of statistical mathematical certainty that election fraud occurred in the race. Those experts determined that there were sufficient irregularities in 20 precincts of Alabama's Jefferson County alone to reverse the outcome of the election. So one county, just one county looking at it. In fact, one of the experts, Richard Charnin, holds 3 degrees in applied mathematics. And if you want to take a look at this article, it is on the New American website. And in addition to all of this, Moore submitted an affidavit proving he successfully passed a polygraph test in which he denied the misconduct allegations that were leveled against him. Well, the bigger issue is election integrity down there, and I think that that needs to be investigated. We'll see what happens as a result of this, but we'll keep following it. But some people said, hey, you know, why doesn't he just go away? Well, if there was voter fraud and you got three renowned experts on it, I think it needs to be investigated at least. Also on the national front, Puerto Rico, a new report saying 1,000 dead, not the few dozen that were originally reported. So just a horrible tragedy there. Still, I think as of mid-December, 50% of the people are still without power. Talking 3 months later, so this happened in the United States of America. 200,000 fled to Florida. So Puerto Rico is a territory of the United States of America and also bankrupt officially. So this is added to the devastation and misery down there. But folks that said that this could never happen in the United States of America were clearly proven wrong by this. I think it just, again, underscores the fact we need to be prepared. Also on the national front, the tax cut vote, according to the latest research, looks like it will result in reductions for 143 million Americans. That means that there will be a huge growth in the economy, which also means there will be higher revenue because of the growth in the economy. Illinois, New York, and California having less exemptions for their local taxes. So there's been a rush down there, lines especially in some of these states, to get in by the first of the year, take advantage of all the exemptions and try to pay some of their property taxes for the next year. So we're seeing that happen. This just goes to show that taxes impact people's lives, and cutting taxes is beneficial to Americans, but also shrinks the size of government, which we need to do if we want to preserve freedom. Also on the regional front, on January 8th is going to be the ruling by Judge Navarro on the Bundy Ranch trial of whether the mistrial will be with prejudice, in other words, a full dismissal, or without prejudice. In other words, the government will have another opportunity to try this. Now, Attorney General Sessions has launched an investigation into what has happened as part of all of this trial, especially the handling of evidence, which was cited by Judge Navarro as a reason for the mistrial, that evidence was not turned over to the defense, exculpatory evidence, evidence tending to prove the defense's case. We're going to keep watching this because it has a huge impact on land management in the West, but also can be a great reason for Secretary Zinke and the Trump administration to clean house, if not completely eliminate some of these unconstitutional agencies and return management where it is best, locally, to the state and to the individual. Also, on the local front, interesting story here. We've got a lot of things happening out there, but I just want to highlight a couple of things that, you know, locally we need to look at what's happening and be involved and not just look at the state and the federal level, because there's a lot of things happen locally that have a greater impact on our lives. And the budget for the county is one of those things. $4.5 million hole in the budget voted for by two of the three county commissioners. Commissioner Kearns not voting for it, staying by his word. And also a tax increase. Again, Commissioner Kearns voting no on it. It's going to have a dramatic impact on our lives, and we need to realize that. We need to be involved at the local level. All right. Well, that's going to do it for today on Patriot Radio. I want to thank everybody for listening. And again, if you get a chance, go to Technocracy News. Check out Red Pill University on Facebook. They're going to have a webinar here coming up tonight. And just putting together a fantastic group of people to educate and fight against globalism. So check it out, Red Pill University. They have a website and also on Facebook, but the webinar is on Facebook. That's where you want to go tonight. This is Matt Shea. Thank you once again for joining me on Patriot Radio. We still live in the greatest country in the world, despite the internal evil we're facing. May all of you have a happy new year. Be blessed. Ring it in with the Lord. God bless you all, and good night.